Father, we're so grateful. It's wonderful to be in your presence this morning. The Bible tells us that we should not forsake the assembly of ourselves together, and indeed we do not. And thank you for making it possible for us to assemble. As we enter your word, we enter in with all the reverence that your word deserves, fully conscious of the limitations of the human mind in its present condition to deliver as well as to receive the infinite wisdom of God that has been compressed into this written word. Consequently, we need the help, supernatural assistance to unravel this wisdom. And therefore, we pray that you will anoint me afresh, so that indeed I will speak as I should as an oracle of God, Lord God, and bring out of the treasure of your word things to you and all as a scribe instructed of the kingdom. I pray the same unction upon the ears and the hearts of all those who are physically here present, and those who will be hearing me remotely electronically, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an eternal work in every heart, including mine. In particular, to cause our wills to be more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Further pray for mercy, so that I will deliver the word, Lord God, with precision. I will redeem the time and speak only what you want me to say. Yea, bring it out of the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructing of the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray.
Amen.
And all those in agreement with me, receiving everything I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed with me and said,
Amen.
Amen. We continue our study in God's word in 1 Peter chapter 5. We actually stopped in chapter 4 in my last lesson, but we will just quickly summarize the last things we said in chapter 4 and move into chapter 5 this morning. And in our last lesson in chapter 4, that was from verses 12 through 19, Peter speaks about Christian suffering. Christian suffering is a major theme in 1st and 2nd Peter. 1st Peter in particular. And he says, let's just read together again very briefly. He says,
Beloved,
I didn't hear you. If you're not beloved, then keep your mouth shut. But if you are beloved, open your mouth.
Beloved,
thank you. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. You know, Christians should not be surprised when difficulties come. This is not strange. We're not taught that. We always told go suffer. But it's complete contrary to scripture. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, when his glory shall be revealed. Turn to your neighbor and say, his glory will be revealed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then you may be glad also with exceeding joy. I didn't hear you. And if you be reproached in the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God resteth upon you. We talked about that our last time, resting. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. I like the scripture. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time cometh, or rather the time is come, that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, oh my God, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. Turn to your neighbor, there is a suffering according to the will of God. Commit the keeping of their souls to him in what? Well doing, as unto a faithful creator. Very quickly, let's summarize, firstly, it's important to understand that as Christians, we are called to suffer with Christ. We're not only called to enjoy the blessings, we're also called to suffer. I don't know how many people know that. Praise the Lord. I didn't hear any amen. Maybe one from Pastor Wally and one from Pastor Quaker. Nobody else is agreeing with me. Well, you agree, you don't agree. It's so anyhow. Are you listening to me? We are called to suffer. We're called to be partakers of Christ's sufferings. The reason is this, that there's a twofold reason. You know, in suffering, we give God the legal basis to punish Satan and his eternal rebels forever. If they don't attack us, God hasn't got a legal basis to punish them. That's actually the main reason. You know, but inside that reason, there's still a second underlying reason. When we suffer, and I'll tell us what we suffer in a minute, you know, we also learn to be totally dependent on God. You know, there's something about problem that makes you realize how fickle you are and how dependent on God you are. I've said this several times over the years, and even in recent times, and I'll keep saying it. Because you are a creation, you are intrinsically, eternally dependent on the Creator. Now, man doesn't like to believe that. The real underlying problem of man, you know, and Lucifer, you know, is independence. We want to, yeah, we, you know, God is there, but let God stay where he is. Let me stay where I am, and, you know, let God do what he likes, and I do what I like. Really, I mean, in summary, that's it, you know. But God's there, it can't be so. You know why? You need me. You need God. Hallelujah. So when you suffer, you know, it reminds you. Thank you. You know, thanks, Pastor G. It reminds you that you have to trust God for his mercy and grace to get you out of the suffering. Now, when everything is going fine, it's easy to forget God. But when things get tough, then you remember, oh Lord, I need God here. Praise the Lord. Amen. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, God allows in his mercy and in his grace sufferings to come. So these are the two reasons. Now, what do we suffer? One, we suffer self-denial. We deny ourselves of legitimate pleasures like food and sleep, primarily sex and other things that are not really wrong, you know, so that you can give more time to pray and spend time in the Word. I've discovered this fact. I've been in this stuff now for almost 40 years, you know, and as a young man, after I got born again and filled the Holy Spirit, you know, and began to, by the help of the Holy Spirit, began to get to know these things, and I started practicing them, you know. I thank God I started early, you know, practicing self-denial, fasting and prayer, and I discovered that something, you know, there's only 24 hours in a day. And in that 24 hours, you have to give God his time. Then something has to suffer. That's where self-denial comes in. I remember after I first got born again, you know, the first 2-3 years, I didn't even watch television at all. I'm not saying it's wrong to watch television. I did watch television. But, you know, I couldn't even afford one. You know, God has a sense of humor. I came back from England and I was, you know, from Barack Obama, I was here in the Agbo. There was no television. Well, I didn't have money to buy television. So that one went, praise the Lord. Amen. So I had to, you know, instead of spending time watching television, I had to pray. In the evenings, then I came home, there was no television. You just pray and read your Bible. Yeah, it's good to suffer. If I had the money, I would have bought the television. But God, there was no money. You know, there was no television. I'm talking about the first few years, though. You know, I mean, later on, I did get a television. But what I'm trying to say is this. Suffering, you know, causes you, if you use it properly, there's a suffering according to the will of God. So there's a suffering that is not according to the will of God. Hello?
Someone has not according to the will of God. He told us that the one that you suffer as a murderer and as an evildoer and as an amebo. This generation doesn't know amebo. You know, that just means a talkative, you know, a gossip. Now, if you're in trouble because of that, that's not according to the will of God. But there is a suffering that's according to the will of God where, you know, Satan attacks you. You know, and then you have to deny yourself. The purpose of self-denial primarily is to be able to give that extra time in fasting so that you can release more spiritual power, and then in time so you can spend time in prayer. So what goes are legitimate things like television, newspapers, movies, you know. But thank God, God taught us the balance. It doesn't mean you don't do those things at all. It's just that you learn discipline. Then, you know, you do the things of God first. Something that helped me over the years, you know, and I still practice it up till today. If I taught it here about a few years ago, using the illustration of the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Do you understand? Before I read any newspaper, I read my Bible first. So if I catch myself either reading a paper or something, have I finished my Bible? See, I have to put, that's what it means. They seek first. Everybody shout first. Say, God always wants to be first. So when I get up in the morning, before I greet my wife, I pray. God is first. Now, my wife doesn't take offense, neither do I. Praise the Lord. She prays, I pray. You know, and then we greet each other later. Don't, you know, but God's first. I don't know if you understand. God is first. So you do that. And then you spend time in prayer. You know, and then you have to, many times, if you know you don't have enough time, then you cut some things off. Cut out the golf. Cut out the seeing your friends. Cut out, yes. And usually in the first early years, you need to do that a lot until you have matured. And then you've learned how to use the fruit of the Spirit to balance things so you have what the Bible calls self-control. Then you can do some of those things sometimes without getting addicted to them. Hello? All right. So we suffer self-denial to give time to prayer and the word. And then we also suffer affliction. Affliction is, you know, emotional, mental, physical, and circumstantial, you know, attack. This which would include sickness, you know, and every other thing. And God allows Satan to do it, you know, and with the intention to kill you. But God has put more in you than in the devil. Everybody shout, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So let him bring it on. Hello. You know, let him bring it on. Yeah, let him bring the affliction. We're ready for him. Amen. I'm going to put on my armor, the armor of love. And then I'm going to take the sword of the Spirit. And then I'm going to pray in the Spirit. And as I pray in the Spirit, I'm able to repel the attack. And the more efficiently I do that, the less the collateral damage that can be done and the less the duration of the attack. Man, in summary, that's what this all Christian suffering is all about. Are you listening to me? So it is not the will of God that we suffer sickness. Hello? It is the will of God that we are attacked by it. But it's not the will of God that it overcomes us. That's the difference. What I just gave you now is epignosis. It's called precise knowledge. Amen. It's true we will have difficulties. That's okay. All right? But it is not true that the will of God is for him to overcome us. We're greater is he that's in us. We're more than conquerors, for heaven's sake. Are you listening to me? You must have this positive, victorious warrior mentality. So suffering is a part of the package. Now we understand it. We know why it is so. We know how to deal with it. Amen. And we deal with it. And we know that when we suffer, we're going to reign. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And that rain is not only in the sweet by and by. It's raining right here in the nasty here and now. Praise the Lord. And so we don't only rain in heaven, we rain here. You know, the devil is so silly. He always makes us the kind of mind, put everything off to heaven. You will have victory when you get to heaven. Where will you? And when we all get to heaven, we will. You know, I came from a strong Pentecostal background. You know, I'm everything. I'm SU, Pentecostal, you know, I'm Anglican, I'm everything. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, in part of my Pentecostal sojourns, you know, I learned all of those. And there's nothing wrong with those songs. They're fine. The only problem is that, you know, if you're not taught and your mind has not been renewed, that thing shifts into your consciousness. And you navigate, when I get to heaven. When we all get to heaven, you know, and we shout and have the victory. I'm going to have the victory here. The promise is for the life that now is and of that which is to come. You know, but they don't teach you that in most churches. You're not taught that you're in the life to come. You put everything off. And then the Satan just comes in and wreaks havoc in the church. And everybody's like, well, we're supposed to suffer for Jesus. And, you know, when I get to heaven, you know, then I'll be rewarded for all this suffering. It's a one-quarter truth. True, you will enjoy when you get to heaven. True, you will overcome. But you don't have to wait to get to heaven to overcome. Overcome here. And kick the nonsense out of the devil. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. The Bible says, for this cause was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Stop letting the guy kick you around like a football. Why don't you turn the tables on him? You know, and put the pressure on Satan for a while, for a change rather. You know, now we're putting pressure under you. You get up in the morning and put pressure under him. I like that scripture. Take the battle to the gate. Go and meet him. Don't wait for him to come and meet you. He says, and they will turn the battle to the gate. Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail. So there's a gate. There's a place where Satan, and the gate there is symbolic of the place of authority and the place where decisions are made, the place of government. That's why I call it the gates of hell. Do you understand? Now, take the battle, go and meet them there. While they are having their meeting, before they come out and start executing their plans, you are already bombarding them. Hallelujah. Aha! You know what they're going to say about you? Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Then you become somebody of importance in the realm of the spirit. But it will come with problem. Because when they know you are like that, then they will go and amass their troops. And they'll say this. But that's okay. That's okay. I don't mind. That's okay. You know, one thing about this Christian life you have to understand is God has made us more than conquerors. Listen to what I'm about to say and listen to it carefully. Because if you don't listen to what I'm about to say carefully, you'll misunderstand. You can misunderstand me. Get rid of the fear of death. You see why so many Christians are being pushed around. But that was because they are afraid of dying. Will you die? No. I will live. I will not die. Can you die? Yes. I said this on Wednesday. You can die. Of course you can die. Jesus knew he could die. That's why when they tried to kill him, he walked no longer in jury. Amen. But he wasn't afraid of death. When God told him, he said, go and raise up Lazarus. The guy said, don't go. They wanted to stone you. He said, let's go. I've got direction from the Holy Spirit. And let the guy come. Amen. And if he comes, I'll overcome him. And he did. He said, nobody can kill me. I have power to lay my life down. I have power to take it up. That's the mentality. So don't be afraid of death. Death is a part of the whole package. Praise the Lord. Are you listening to me? And you will live, you will not die. But learn to be a good soldier. A good soldier, put on your armor, you will not die. You will be attacked. He will try and kill you. But that's all right too. Amen. You'll overcome it. I said, what if you die? So what? To die is gain. Give the Lord a clap offering. Yeah, you have to. Do you really believe that? Or are you just saying it to soothe your conscience, soothe your emotions? You know, it's true. Amen. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Now, I'm not going to die yet. Amen. If I die at all. Amen. Are you listening to me? But in my mind, it's called renewing of the mind. In my mind, I have already made those decisions. And they love not their lives unto the death. So I'm ready to battle Satan to whatever degree I need to. And I'm not going to let him intimidate me with the fear of death. Three amens. Praise the Lord. I don't have a Christian suffering. So this is what it's all about, really. You know, and he said in verse 17, he said, for the time has come that judgment must begin. I got news for you. This is prophetic now, you know, because I'm speaking present truth. It hasn't yet begun, but it's going to begin. See, the judgment must begin. Must begin. Must begin. Must begin. Now, what does he mean by judgment? In that case, he's talking about all the I don't like to use the word punishment. The attacks, if I like to use that expression, you know, that God is going to allow to come against the human race. We're in the end time. Hello? It says judgment must begin at the house of God. The house of God, of course, is the church. It says judgment must begin at the house of God. You know, so God is going to allow the attacks of Satan to come to the church first, before it even goes to the world. You know, in eschatology means study of the end time. You know, the average Pentecostal, traditional, you know, evangelical and Pentecostal thinking is that, you know, there's a great tribulation, and I agree with that, you know. But there is another tribulation, which is tribulation of the church, which people are not really aware of. You know, and I believe many of the, particularly kingdom prophetic teachers, people that came out of what is known as the Latter Rain Movement. The Latter Rain Movement started after World War II in Canada. You know, in 1948, and then it spread to England and America and other places, you know, and it was pioneered in some Bible school in Canada. You know, I don't even know all the names of the people, but I know some of the people that came out of that movement, like George Warnock, Bill Britton, and these are the guys that taught people like Kelly Verner and later on Papa Ralph and all of that. That whole movement is called the Kingdom Movement, and they believe in what we call the manifestation of the sons of God, and the fact that, you know, the people who be like Jesus, Joel's army, you know, who be like Jesus of the earth, you know, measure the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, they believe that the church will be here for the tribulation, and that during the tribulation you'll be so strong that tribulation will affect you. Now, I don't subscribe to that. You know, I believe that I believe the scriptures teach us that the church will be taken out of the way. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you know, before the Antichrist can be revealed. That he there is the man child. Now, this is what I believe. And what I believe is this, that what's going to happen is that when the church, I'm talking about judgment must begin at the house of God. When the church begins to manifest the glory of God, it will attract terrible satanic opposition, which will lead to what we call, what I call, the tribulation of the church. That's why it says judgment must, you see, we have our own problem, then the world is going to have their own problem. They must begin at the house of God, you know, and there's going to be an attack and all of that. Don't worry about that. Praise the Lord. Are you listening to me? You know, that scriptures, I spoke about this briefly on Wednesday. You know, scriptures talk about, it says, you know, why do the heathen rage? and the people imagine a vain thing. You know, it says, you know, that they will come against the Lord and his anointed. He's talking about the perfect church. Hallelujah. You know, and they use an interesting expression. As I was praying this morning and meditating upon it, it hit me, and I just shared with us, you know, briefly. And he says, let us cast their bands asunder. It means that the church must be binding them. And their cords. It means that that church, that the Lord and his anointed is doing, is hidden, is restricting them. And the scriptures actually say so. Hallelujah. You know, where it says in quite a number of places, Psalm 149, where it says they shall bind their kings. Then in talking about Joseph, the Joseph company, it says that it will bind his senators and teach them wisdom. So the manifestation of the perfect church will cause a restriction, a binding on the nations of the world, and they're going to get mad. And they're going to come against us. But we're going to win. So he says, it will begin with us. And it's described in Matthew 24, verses 9 to 13. He says, it hasn't happened yet. We're still now in the birth pangs. But he says, you shall be hated of all nations. We're not hated of all nations yet. But it's coming. But the good news is, you know, we overcome all of that. The Bible says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And they said, and then this gospel shall be preached. How come they hated us in verse 9, but by verse 13, we're preaching to all the nations? It means something has happened. We have overcome them, that's why. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. So it's going to come to the house of God. It will begin with us. Amen. Then, you know, when the man child is raptured out of this place, you know, and that's another very controversial truth that, you know, majority of the traditional Pentecostal Word of Faith church doesn't understand, or rather doesn't want to accept. But, you know, truth is truth. You cannot, thy word is truth. If it's in the Word of God, don't try and explain it away. It's there. You better try and understand its context and how to prepare for it. Are you listening to me? Amen. They are different raptures. The Bible calls it the orders of the resurrection. Every man in his own order. It's not going to be the same. Of course it can't be the same. What's the use of my fasting and prayer? And like Paul said, he said, if it's so, he said, let us eat and drink. No. Will we all go to heaven? Yes. But we'll not go the same time and the same way. Neither will we all be the same in heaven. For one star will differ from another star in glory. There is an order of the resurrection, and there is a glory of the resurrection. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And so when you realize that, it makes you serious as a Christian. Every man that had this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. You see, when I came to understand many of these things years ago, so I started getting very serious. You know, I realized that we have been sold a dummy. This thing, we all just go, you know, and Jesus will come, and we'll just go, and when we get to heaven, everybody will be singing and, you know, playing harps. It's not like that. Am I talking to anybody here? It's not like that at all. If you look at this panorama, it's a prophetic panorama in Revelation chapter 12. You see three parts of the church. You see the woman who is with child, waiting to be delivered. Then you see her give birth to a what? Man child. Where did the man child come out from? From the woman. The woman, symbolic of Israel, is also symbolic of the church, manifold wisdom of God. But I'm looking at it as a church now, you know. So the woman brings forth the man child. It is the man child that is caught up. The woman is not caught up, but she's church. Then the Bible says that after the man child is caught up, he says there is war in heaven, and the devil comes down. Now when the devil comes down, he says he persecutes the woman and the remnant of her seed. So you got the church at three levels: man, child, woman, remnant of her seed. All church. Is it clear? That's why you want to do everything to be in the man child. Because the guys who are left behind, they'll go to heaven. The woman is taken to the wilderness. She's protected for three and a half years and all that. They don't go to heaven. But I don't want that. I want man child. Now, you know, I heard this from Kenneth Copeland years ago. It was one of the things that triggered me to go and study. He said, first flight. I'd never heard anybody say that before. So it means there's more than one flight. There's a pre-tribulation flight. There is a mid-tribulation flight. And there is a post-tribulation flight. Now, you go first flight. Start putting the deposit down for your ticket. Watch and pray always. Start every day, pray and put a deposit towards your first flight ticket. Stop messing around like those Christians who don't know what they're doing, you know. And then they want to go with first flight. You can't go with first flight if you didn't pay. Watch and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape some. No, all of these things. First flight guys are not going to experience any of the great tribulation. But the woman and the remnant of her seed will. And they are all part of the church. Have I helped anybody here? So judgment must begin at the house of God. And if you first begin at God, what will be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? You don't even want to. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where will they? I mean, the guys who are doing watching and praying, fasting, buying the devil, and all of that, you know, they're scarcely saved. No, I'm talking about the guy who's not doing it. So you can imagine the kind of destruction that's going to come upon the earth, you know, after the man child has been taken out. So he says, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls unto him as unto a faithful creator. I like the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. On the cross, that's exactly what Jesus did. He committed his spirit unto God as unto a faithful creator. You know, he said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? You know, then later on, when he said, into thy hands I commit my spirit, then he died. The Bible says he will not leave his soul in hell. Neither shall he suffer the Holy One. So he trusted God to raise him from the dead. And God didn't disappoint him. Hallelujah. And when you're going through your own difficulties, it may not necessarily be hell in terms of hell, you know, but you might be going through a hell of a problem right now. Commit yourself as to God as unto a what? Faithful creator. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Continue standing in prayer. God will show up. And he will deliver you. Are you listening to me? He will deliver you from that situation. He will deliver you. He's a faithful. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is a faithful creator. He's not an irresponsible creator. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He may not come the first day. He didn't come for Jesus. He may not come the second day. He didn't come for Jesus. But on the third morning, hallelujah, hallelujah, God will show up in your situation. So maybe what you're going through now, you're still in your first day. Stay in there. Stay faithful. You may be in your second day. Stay faithful. The day of victory and resurrection from your problem is just around the corner. I don't know if I've helped anybody. Hallelujah. You see, what I've done by the help of the Holy Spirit is I've taught you Christian suffering in a victorious manner. I have not said there's no suffering. There is. But at the end of every suffering, there's a victory. And at the end of suffering, there's glory. So don't be afraid of suffering. In fact, suffering is the gateway to glory. No suffering, no glory. I really feel sorry When I say sorry, I don't say it in a condescending kind of manner. You know, God has taught me and He's still teaching me. My attitudes have changed over the years. Before, I used to despise, you know, Christians that don't have knowledge and things like that. But God said, don't do that. You know, so I've changed and I'm still changing. You know, I really feel for our brethren who don't understand. They're in for a rude shock. Rude shock. Jesus is coming tomorrow. Jesus is not coming tomorrow. And He's not coming to rescue you from all the problems that are around you. You better learn how to use the word of God to triumph in your situation. Jesus is not coming for a defeated church. He's coming for a victorious church. The man child is victorious. That's why she was taken out. She was taken out in a blaze of glory. She wasn't taken out because the devil was too strong for her. She was taken out because she was too strong for the devil. Glory to God. And she had fulfilled her purpose to preach the gospel and disciple all ethnos. Then she's taken out. This defeatist, escapist mentality will destroy you. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. I say that with a compassionate attitude, not with an arrogant one which I used to before. I say that because I care about people. And God cares about you. You know, don't close your eyes to the truth. Be honest if the Bible says it is true. Don't ignore it. Don't omit truth that is inconvenient. Is it the Bible? I don't like it. So I just do as if it's not there. Let me talk about the one I like. You'll be in trouble because that thing that is there, it will still come and meet you. And you know the amazing thing about it? Whether you believe it or not, He abided faithful. He said, if we believe not, He cannot deny Himself. Your believing or not believing does not have any effect on truth. Truth is truth. It will come to pass. You believe. You don't believe. The only thing is that if you don't believe, it is a negative part of it that's going to happen to you. But your believing or not believing it does not do away with its veracity. Oh Lord, have mercy. Have I helped anybody here? Hallelujah. So it is, I want to give you a piece of advice, not only for us here, all those who are listening. You know, be honest when you read the Bible. Read it with a humble and an honest heart. If the Bible says, watch and pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape, then you know that's what it means. If it says, it is the man child that is caught up and the woman and had remnant of her left behind, that's what it means. Don't try and Google it. Man try like Jomo. When we're in secondary school, you know these boys who don't know the thing. They'll just walk to the answer. You can't do that spiritually. The examiner is perfect. All this Jomo Christianity, you get into trouble. Sit down and work it out. Work out, thank you, Pastor G, with fear and trembling. Let's go to chapter 5. At least I'll start one verse and we'll stay. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. That verse 1 is enough. You can preach a whole camp meeting on it. Let me just dissect it by the Spirit. You know, the Bible talks about rightly dividing the word. Okay. Now, the first thing I want you to understand is this. If you are an elder, elder just means senior. It also means pastor, I know. You know, shepherd, elder, pastor, they're synonymous terms in the New Testament. But in this particular context, you know, an elder is an elder. It means somebody who has grown spiritually. Do you understand? Someone who's spiritually mature. An elder means he's an elder. You know, you have young children, then you have elder. Elder means he's grown. He's, you know. So, do you know everybody's supposed to aspire to be an elder? It's not just for Peter and John and Paul, you know, and Kenneth Hagin and I. It's everybody. If you, with time, you should become an elder. So this is a truth for all of us. It says, the elders, which are among you, I exhort, who also am an elder. So Peter identified himself as an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. This thing belongs to elders. Elders will partake of his sufferings and partake of his glory. It's part of the package as you grow into eldership. You'll be a partaker of, you'll be a witness and a partaker of the sufferings, and you will also be a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Hallelujah. I want to spend a little bit, a few minutes on this. You know, oftentimes, and I've said this actually earlier, you know, we want to think of the glory as the glory of the resurrection when Jesus finally comes, which is true. We do not diminish that fact. But there is a glory for this life, you know. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. It is the glory of this life that is going to close the age. It's not just the one of the resurrection. If there is no glory in this life, this age can't close. Isaiah 60. Arise and shine, for thy light is come. Behold, darkness, yea, gross darkness, shall be upon the people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory. Where is that glory? In the place of the darkness. So it cannot be in heaven. It cannot be in heaven. You know, all this mentality that is going to be in the millennium. Nah, there is no darkness in the millennium. So this is here and now. So there is a glory that is imminent as I speak. There is a darkness. You know, it doesn't get darker than it is right now. How many people know? Amen. With all the rubbish, the homosexual, the prime ministers, and all the moral laxity in the nations. Just this morning, you know, I just got a peep on the internet. This guy just did a test of a nuclear weapon. Yes, the guy in South Korea. He did it this morning. North Korea, sorry. He did it this morning. He did it. He said, we don't know whether it's so or not. But the Japanese have confirmed that something happened. And there was a nuclear test that was actually done. And he said, they now sent it officially, the North Korean government said, this morning, you know, officially, they said that they tested a hydrogen bomb that is 5 times as powerful as the bomb that was dropped in Nagasaki. And they said the test was perfectly successful. And they can put it on a nuclear warhead. Now, you'd be stupid to say, you're all long back. No, ole maporono. In our language, that means he may be lying. But you don't want to find out. He may not have been as successful as he said it was. He may still be experimenting. But you don't know that. And it may be true, he did it properly. So, what's America going to do? So, what's the United Nations going to do? Let me just turn to your neighbor and say, chill, chill, chill. Say, God's in control. Amen. Say, chill. He that letteth will let. Say, we're still here. So it's going to be all right. Give the Lord a clap offering. But that's gross darkness. That's why I believe with all my heart that the glory can happen any day now. Because that's what's going to put checkmate these boys. Since they bind their princes. You can't, the kind of problems we are facing now, you cannot use natural power alone. They will go to the UN tomorrow and talk grammar. It's going to be grammar. We condemn the strongest time. Blah, blah, blah. You know, sanction. Who wants to enter a nuclear exchange? Nobody. Nobody. He knows that if he tries to fire it, he's finished. He knows that. So I don't think he's going to fire anything. I think he's just rattling his swords. So, leave me alone, oh, leave me alone. You know, but the point is this. The world is living on a fine balance. Anything can happen. So it is only the man who knows God and the woman who knows God and people who know how to pray that can say, yes, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. What we have is greater than any atom bomb. Are you listening to me? But we must know how to use it and how to launch it. Am I talking to anybody? Turn to your neighbor and say, be here on Tuesday to pray. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, we're involved. There's a glory, the glory that shall be revealed. There's a glory that's going to come in this lifetime. It is a prerequisite to the closing of the age. It has to happen. The church must grow to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Jesus himself, I'll close in a minute. You know, Jesus himself, he prayed this prayer. He said, Father, the glory which you gave me. We shared this on Wednesday. He said, I didn't pray this prayer. I'm in agreement with it. But I didn't pray it. This is from the lips of the Lord Jesus himself. It's John 17, 22, 23, 24, 25. You know those verses. He said, the glory you gave me, he said, I have given them so that they may be one even as we are one. But he didn't stop there. And that the world may know, not think, not believe. No. Now there's a difference between believing. You are believing for something that is invisible, so it will come into physical manifestation. You know, when you are still believing for something, you haven't seen it yet, but you believe it is there in the spirit realm, and then you're trusting God for it to come to manifestation. When it comes to manifestation, you don't believe, you know. Am I talking to anybody here? So Jesus said that the world may know that you have sent me and loved me as you have loved them. You know. So the point is this. When is that glory going to come? When we are here. Or else how will the world know if it's in heaven? The world is not going to be in heaven. Am I talking to anybody here? So this is a glory that is coming now. Who is it for? Elders. Elders. And so the whole motivation here is spiritual growth. Are you listening to me? I, who also am elder and a witness of the sufferings. Look at the sequence. I'm going to close. Look at the sequence. Spiritual growth, partake his sufferings, and then experience the glory. You're not going to. You can't. Oh, lejomo. You can't short circuit anything. If you don't grow, you cannot partake of his sufferings. Babies don't suffer. If you try and make them suffer, they will die. It's the truth. You don't take a 6-month-old baby and say you should fast. Babies don't know anything about fasting. Amen. When children are still under 10, 12 years old, you don't tell them to fast. Children, they all eat all the time. They're children. But the days will come when they will fast. Do you understand? So it is as you grow, you are able to partake more and more of his sufferings. And as you are able to partake of his sufferings and overcome them, then you are qualified for his glory. Let us pray. Talk to God. Stand to your feet. The elders which are among you. Now all of us are not elders at the same time. But God wants us to have that ambition to become a spiritual elder. It has nothing to do with whether you're a pastor or an evangelist or you're a prophet or you're an apostle. Just become an elder. And let's say it another way, just grow. Jesus said, Paul, same thing, you know, same Holy Spirit. He said that we may grow up into Him in all things. God's emphasis today for the church is growth, not blessing. I didn't say blessing is not important, but the emphasis. I shared this with one of my pastor spiritual sons about 2 years ago, and he's been correcting it. You know, I said emphasize growth, not blessing. Now, talk about blessing. I talk about blessing here. He said, but emphasize growth. If you grow, you will be blessed. But if you are blessed, you may not grow. I'm going to say it again. If you grow, you will be blessed. But if you are blessed, you may not grow. So many Christians want to be blessed, but they don't want to grow. And sadly, their pastors indulge them. That's why most people don't like this church. And don't stay long here. You can't. This is not kind of church where you can stay and not grow. If you're not growing in this church, after a while you start feeling bad. The word will start convicting you. And then you go down to XYZ down the road where they tell you what you want to hear, and they just tell you blessing. They don't tell you no challenge, nothing to make you grow. Okay, now you're happy. You may be blessed, but you will not grow. Do you know even the evil are blessed? I don't know if you've read your Bible to that point. The evil are blessed. God allows the rain to go both on the good and the evil. The sun shines on them. You know, God blesses. God, do you know God heals the wicked? You know why? Because God is merciful. This is His nature. His tender mercies are over all His works, including the wicked. Hoping that they will change and they will repent. The goodness of God leads men to repentance. The fact that God is good to you does not mean God approves of you. God is good because God is good. It's His nature to be good. Amen? But that does not necessarily mean He's happy with you. He's being good to you so that you can change, so that He can become happy with you. The goodness of God leads men to repentance. Never take the blessing and the goodness of God for granted, thinking that it's a stamp of approval. It's given even to the wicked. He lets the rain and the sun to shine both on the good and the bad. He said the Son of Righteousness with healing in His wings, both on the good and the bad. So stop all this nonsense. And determine you're going to grow spiritually. You're going to grow. Shout to your neighbor, I'm going to grow. I'm going to grow. Because it is in growth that the real blessings are. The real blessings, the permanent one. Durable riches and righteousness. The one that will stay with you forever. In this life and in the one to come. I was reading my Bible today in Mark chapter 10. He says, have a hundredfold return in this life and permanent blessing. You are blessed here, you are blessed there. Hallelujah. But the secret is growth. Talk to God. Say, God, I will grow. I want to grow spiritually. And how do you grow? The blood, the word, and the spirit. He says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. See, no matter how much I love you, I can't read your Bible for you. I can't feed you. I can feed you like I'm doing now. But at the end of the day, you know, I can put the spoon inside your mouth with the food. But you have to open your mouth, chew the food, and put it inside your belly. For it to benefit you. Spiritually is the same thing. You have to read your Bible, study it yourself. You have to pray in tongues and pray in spirit yourself. The one I do can help you, but it is the one you do for yourself that is going to make you grow. All the people who are looking for somebody to come and, you know, let the pastor do the Bible reading study. Let the pastor do the praying. Let them just anoint me with oil. And so that they can solve all my problem. So when I go to American Embassy, they'll give me visa. All this rubbish and nonsense, it will not let you grow. You have to grow. You have to grow. You have to grow. You have to grow. Paul said, by reason of time, you ought to be teachers. He said, but you have need that one teach you the first principles of the word of God. And you have become need of milk and not of meat. He said, for I have not to, I said, I cannot even tell you. Because you don't want, you know, sometimes there is not even a desire to grow. Many Christians don't even want to grow because of the responsibilities that come with growth. They don't want to suffer. They don't want to partake of the suffering. They don't want to grow. They just want to bless. Let that mentality change. Let that mentality change. Say, God, I understand the importance of growth. I want to grow up into Him in all things. And as I grow, I'm ready to take up my responsibilities of my suffering, self-denial, prayer, so that I can be a partaker of the glory that is imminent. On bended knees we come,
with a humble heart we come, bowing down before your holy throne. Lifting holy hands to you as we pledge our love anew.
We worship you, Lord.
We worship you in spirit. We worship you in truth. Make our lives a holy praise unto you.
On bended knees we come, hallelujah.
On bended knees we come, with a humble heart we come.
We
worship you in spirit. We worship you in truth. Make our lives a holy praise unto you.
One more time. On bended knees we come. Hallelujah.
On bended knees we come. We the
raise the other hand to God. God is searching the heart the earth desperately, if I can use that expression. His eyes are running to and fro to show himself strong. Whose heart, to those whose hearts are upright. He's looking for honest, humble Christians who want what he wants. And he wants us to grow. In fact, he says this in the book of Ephesians. He says that we be no more children. This is the very heart of the Holy Spirit. That we be no more children. It's not the will of God that we stay children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, you know. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him. Tell God, say, I want what you want. We're going to pray together in a minute. I want you in your heart. Say, God, I want what you want. I want growth. I want growth above blessing. I thank you for your blessings. And I know they'll continue to be with me. But Lord, I want growth above blessings. Because when I grow, then I can inherit all the blessings permanently. Talk to God. And be sincere. We did this on Wednesday, you know, in another dimension. Be sincere. I said, God, I mean it. I'm not just talking. I mean it. I want growth. Because, Lord, I want to inherit your glory in this lifetime. Then I know I'm guaranteed it in the life to come. The one to come is guaranteed. Once you have the one of this life, the one to come is already guaranteed. So it's the one of this life you should be chasing. Because that is the guarantee of the one that is to come. Thank you. Say, Father, we confess our sins. We confess our sins. And so we cling with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning, reminding me that it is your will for me to grow spiritually, to become an elder, a partaker of your sufferings, and a partaker of your glory in this lifetime. Oh God, have mercy on me. Change my desires. Help me to change my desire. Help me to change how I feel. Help me to desire to be hungry for righteousness. To be hungry for spiritual growth. To be hungry for your glory. Oh God, change my spiritual taste buds. That it is only the word that is going to cause me to grow that I will have an appetite for. And I will not waste my time feeding on things that will not make me grow. Oh God, have mercy on me. Help me to love what you love, to desire what you desire, so that your kingdom will come, your will be done in my life, here on earth, as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering. A super clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
To you.